Good morning. So you might be wondering why I'm standing up here right now. It's a big question that's probably in your mind. So whenever Dane Shepherd came and talked with the song leaders in the advanced class, one thing that we talked about was not just the mechanics of song leading. In fact, actually, the majority of our time was spent in talking about how it is really helpful for us to not just worship with our spirits, but also with our minds. Meaning, it doesn't help us if we just get excited and just sing some words, but it really helps us if we have some content in our heart that our minds are engaged by, and then we sing about that content. Now, that's one reason why I really appreciate the song leaders that we have here, is because typically they don't just get up here and just sing a bunch of random songs, but they actually have a thought that they want us to work through, and that really helps us worship, I think, in a good way. But one thing that we wanted to put to test this morning is to see how it would work if we flowed from the Word of God and talked with the sermon first. This is not something that we're going to do always, but we just want to test it this morning. We have the sermon first, and then songs relating to that sermon afterwards, and then all that content that we've talked about from the Word of God is in our minds, and it's speaking to us as we are singing songs that are related to that. So that's what we're trying out this morning, and I hope that it will be helpful and edifying to you. Let us know what you think. Max has prepared some songs that we'll sing after the sermon this morning that are relating to our text in Ephesians chapter 6. So go ahead and open up to Ephesians chapter 6. That's where we're going to be studying this morning. Ephesians 6 and verses 10 through 13. I really wanted to talk about the entire armor of God section in one sermon, but I think that will be far too difficult. So I'm going to break it up into at least two sermons. And this morning, what we're just going to do is we're just going to talk about the verses 10 through 13, the introduction to all the pieces of armor that Paul talks about. So if you've been with us in our study of Ephesians over the last almost 2 years, we've seen, especially in the last year, since last January, that Paul has been instructing us to walk worthy of our calling. God has given this marvelous opportunity to us to be his children, and there's a way we're supposed to walk because of that. And Paul has given us a lot of specific instructions as it relates to that. He has told us that we need to speak the truth with one another and not lie. He has told us that we need to try to imitate God in everything, to put on love, to forgive one another, to not be bitter, to not be angry towards one another, but to speak only helpful things that build up one another. We've talked about how to walk worthy in marriage, how to walk worthy in family between fathers and children. We've talked about how to walk worthy in work. And when I think about all that, as I've been studying these things, I just think, wow, that's just a lot of things that we're supposed to watch out for in the Christian walk. I mean, we have to watch out for our words, our minds, the things we do every day in all of our relationships, and that is just tremendously difficult. How are we supposed to be able to be empowered to walk in a worthy way? Well, the whole armor of God is how we are going to be able to withstand sin and walk in the way that God wants us to. So I want you to look at your Bibles, verses 10 through 13, Ephesians 6. Let's go ahead and read that text together and get that in our minds as we talk about putting on the armor of God. Paul says in verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." I want to consider three overall points with you this morning from this text And the first overall point that I want us to be thinking about is the fact that Paul says we are in a battle, essentially. There's just a lot of battle imagery used throughout here. Paul tells us that we need to be strong. He tells us that we're wrestling, not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities and powers. He says that we need the whole armor of God. There's just this battle imagery that Paul uses throughout here. And for me, that's just actually really helpful to think about for a moment. Because when Paul tells us that we're in a battle, he's doing that to stir us up so that we'll realize that there is a real fight that is going on today. There's a real fight that's going on in the world. And oftentimes, I think we want to just ignore that fight and not accept that there really is a fight going on. He tells us here that we need strength and that we need the armor of God, but he doesn't tell us that we need to be strong and that we need the armor of God, and he doesn't use this battle imagery so that we think, wow, I think that I'm just going to go in bed and put on some fuzzy socks and then everything is just going to be fine. We don't need to be strong because there's just no battle going on. There is a real battle that we are supposed to be fighting. And since we're in a battle, Paul tells us there in verse 10 that we need to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And then in verse 11, he tells us that we need to put on the whole armor of God. There is a battle going on for our souls, brothers and sisters, and there's a battle going on for this world. And that means that we need to do something about it. Strength is called for, and armor is called for. If you walk around in a bookstore today, one of the biggest sections that you're going to find is the self-help section. And really, that's because the main problem in the world today is just, well, I just have some personal problems and some difficult things that I'm just going through in my own world. And I just have these difficulties. And so what I need is I need some chicken soup for the soul to make me feel better. You know, something that says, you're a real go-getter and you really can do it. And you have all this strength on your own. Don't you know how strong you are? You can conquer on your own if you just summon this inner energy and use this seven-step discipline to success. Then you'll just be good, and that'll solve the problems in the world. But you know, none of those self-help books talk about the reality. None of them talk about the fact that we are in a real battle for our souls, and that the problem that we have is not just that I wake up feeling a little crummy today or not really motivated. The problem is that Satan is waging war to conquer us. And the way to win is not to dig deep in ourselves and find some seven-step discipline out in the world to be able to feel better about ourselves. The way to win is through the strength of God. He tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And He tells us to put on the armor of God. Isaiah paints this picture of how God is this warrior God and He has all this armor on. And what Paul is saying here, he's drawing from that imagery and saying, you can have His armor. And so that's the first thing I want us to recognize, is that we're in a battle, but in order to win this battle, we cannot do that with our own strength or with some self-help chicken soup for the soul book, but it's only through the strength of God and His armor. The second thing I want for us to consider this morning from this text is that Paul says that we are wrestling against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. He talks about that at the end of verse 11. We need to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And then verse 12, he just gives this description about who we're really battling against. He says, we're battling against these rulers, against these authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, against the schemes of the devil. So here's a question. Do you believe that? Do you really believe each day, is that something that's, there's an awareness in your life that we are really battling against all these wicked, evil forces? I mean, not even just against Satan. Against all these rulers, authorities, cosmic powers. Do you believe that? I've been struck over the past month. I've been thinking about this text for a while, and I've been struck lately about a problem with horror films. I have always liked horror films from the time that I was growing up, and I'm not up here trying to say that they are inherently wrong. I'm not saying that. But I've realized one problem that comes from us watching horror films, especially the ones that talk about, that deal with demonic possession and things like that, and supernatural things. One of the problems that comes from that is, what's the conversation that we have with each other afterwards? Like, one, are you scared of the demons, you know, and are you scared, are you okay, you know, how do you feel about all this? And then the second question that sometimes comes up is, do you believe in all that? Do you believe, like, that there's actually, like, these evil forces that are trying to get us? And, of course, the implication is what? No, of course not. We don't believe in that stuff. There's no demons around today. There's no evil spiritual forces trying to get us, trying to catch us. As if that was a question we were supposed to ask at all. It's like the people, you know, a few hundred years ago when they start studying science, they like think of this weird question like, does God really exist? As if that was ever a question that we were meant to ask. Do evil, wicked spiritual forces that are trying to destroy you actually exist? Yes, they do. They don't work in the way that we see in the horror films. And that's kind of the thing that might be a little bit comforting about that is we think, okay, well, it's not like that, you know, right? But then what happens is sometimes what I think is, well, since it's not like that, it just doesn't exist at all. And that's just not really helpful at all. You know, the result of that, the result is that we think sometimes, at least I think, that my battle then is actually against flesh and blood. And you know what Paul says here? He says, you're not battling, you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against principalities and powers in the heavenly places. The other thing I forget is that I think that flesh and blood are then responsible for this present darkness. So I start thinking, since I've forgotten that that the devil is real, he's not just this red figure with, you know, some horns and a sharp tail, you know, that runs around, you know. Since I've forgotten that he's this real evil being that is trying to take you down and you down and you and you, since I've forgotten that, I start thinking in a naturalistic way, and I think, not only is my battle against flesh and blood, but, you know, flesh and blood, they're really the ones that are responsible for this present darkness. But you know what Paul says here in verse 12? He says, against this, the cosmic powers over this present darkness. It's not people that are the problem in of themselves that have caused this problem that we see in the world today, all the wickedness, all the pain. It is Satan and his powers and his authorities. And the other thing that I forget then is I forget to have a healthy fear, but maybe more appropriately to say just a healthy awareness of the fact that the devil and his forces are scheming against you and me. And you notice that there in verse 11, what he says. He says that we need to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Paul talks in 1 Corinthians, maybe it's 2 Corinthians, about how there's this need for us to be wise, that we don't want to be deceived by the serpent. All throughout the Bible, it's not even really just throughout everywhere. It's just you kind of see it at these major points like Genesis 3 and in Revelation and some other places in Paul's letters. You see that Satan is not just this person who walks up to us in obvious ways. He doesn't walk up as this big, terrifying creature who is going to try to now deceive us. He comes as a snake. Apparently, Eve didn't mind talking to at all, but now we're all like scared to death of snakes. And even in Revelation, you know, John sees this dragon, but then you know who the dragon sends to the people? The dragon doesn't just march out before the people, you know, and breathe fire and stuff like that. He sends like this beast that sounds like a lamb. It's this weird picture. It just sounds gentle and nice. You know, Paul says that the angels, if demons dress themselves as angels of light, so do false teachers. That's what wolves do. They come to you secretly, Paul says. They're dressed in sheep's clothing. The picture that we get from the Bible is that Satan is scheming and he does not attack us. He does not come for you in obvious ways. He just comes in innocent ways. He's scheming. He's plotting. He's planning. He knows your weaknesses. And he's trying to exploit them. And for me, I have not always had this awareness in my life. You know, at times we get this awareness. But I think I want each of us to be thinking right now, how is God working in your life? But I want you to think about the potential pitfalls that you have in your path. How are Satan and his forces working in your life right now? What kind of situations are you going through? What do you think Satan might be putting in your path to destroy you, to bring you down? Secretly. That'd be really good for me, and I think for all of us, just to pause and think about that every once in a while. To be aware of his schemes, or to at least be aware of the fact that he's scheming if we can't think of anything at the moment. And you know why we need this awareness? It's because if we don't have this awareness, we're not going to do what Paul says in verses 10 and 11 and 13, and that is to be strong and to put on the whole armor of God. That's the final and third admonition that we have this morning, is that we need to take up the whole armor of God. I want us to recognize that when Paul says that we're going into this battle, that we're in this battle, that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against all these spiritual forces in the heavenly places, he doesn't say, what I need you to do is just let go and let God and everything will be okay. He says, take action. At least that's the implication. You have to be strong in the strength of the Lord. You have to put on armor. But here's the other thing. Is we've just thought about the fact that Satan and all of his forces are scheming against each one of us, against this world, trying to bring it down. But I want you to notice that nowhere in here does Paul tell us to be afraid. He doesn't say, you know what, Satan and his forces are scheming and so you need to be afraid. I'm sending Tychicus to you and you need to make sure that you get a report about him and amen and we're done with the letter. He says, no, Satan and his forces are scheming. And so you know what I want you to do? I want you to put on the armor of God. And notice what will happen when we put on the whole armor of God. He says in verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Brothers and sisters, I have hope for you this morning. We need to be aware of the terrible battle that is about us. But at the same time, I don't want you to leave here in trepidation, afraid that there's nothing you can do because Satan is coming for you with all of his forces, with all he can bring. You know what? There is something you can do. And if you put on the whole armor of God, you will be able to stand strong and stand firm in the evil day. It's not like maybe you'll have a hope when Satan comes that you'll be able to put up a good fight just before you just, it seems like you're going to stand and then you just fall at the very end and he gets you. No, you will be able to stand. But in order to do that, we have to put on the whole armor of God. The fact of the matter is that it doesn't really help me if I go out to battle with a helmet, with a shield, with a breastplate, with shoes, with a belt, and no sword. It doesn't help. It doesn't help if I go with a sword and a helmet and a shield and a breastplate and a belt and no shoes. It doesn't help if I have everything but one. If you're missing just one, there's weakness in the armor and it will be found. And so what I want for us to come away with this morning then is that we need to recognize the battle and we need to recognize the enemy, but then we also need to recognize that the whole armor of God is needed if we're going to be able to stand. And so in a coming lesson, at some point in the near future, I'm going to be studying these parts of the armor of God. And then I'm going to share those things with you. And we're going to talk about each one of them because each one of them has importance. Prayer has importance. Truth has importance. Salvation has importance. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, has importance. All there's important things. Every single piece of armor is important. So as you leave this week, I don't want you to be afraid, but I want you to be aware. And I want you to be thinking and praying about how we can lean on God and use His strength to fight this battle. Not our own strength, not our own self-help ways of conquering sin. Because our own self-help ways of conquering sin will not stand in a battle against cosmic forces of evil. They might help in little skirmishes day to day between people or between little problems, but they're not going to save us against the true enemy who is fighting against our souls. Thank you for your kind attention this morning. Jacob is now going to say a prayer, and then we're going to be singing about these things.